Cinder blocks are heavy, man.
They're heavy, and they get your hands all, like, you know. But it's good. It's good. I'm going to talk about foundations this morning. And Paul is considering the foundation of the church and the foundations of our faith. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll begin in verse 1. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk and not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one person says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold or silver or costly stones or wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourself are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. All right. Foundations. Building with costly stones, or wood, hay, or straw. All of this is sort of fresh on my mind as I look out of my yard and I see my foundation coming up out of the ground. I can tell you, you better be an expert builder when you start doing that. If your foundation is off, it's going to be real noticeable. And so you put a level on every single cinder block. You set it in there and you put your level on every single block. Paul's talking about, I laid the foundation as an expert builder. When I came to you and preached who Jesus was and the Messiah and the Old Testament and you accepted all that, I was an expert in my teachings. He says, but what is Paul and what is Apollos? They're only servants. So I asked myself, what am I? If I left today and moved to somewhere else, would I have laid an expert foundation? Would I have built skillfully, as Paul talked about? Paul could leave that place and know that he had done a good job. Boy, that resonates with me. Thinking, I hope no one's faith rests on the guy up front. I hope the guy up front has done a good enough job to point people to what this is all about, and that's Jesus. All
right.
We better be looking and worshiping him and not a man.
Amen.
Now, I saw a whole bunch of big churches in Myrtle Beach, and I got to visit our church planting there. And there's 19 disciples in Myrtle Beach, and they moved down there. And I get to meet with them, and guess what? They went through the same kind of things that we went through when we first started. And it made me think about sort of the did I say good old day? So when we first met here, we met in the Renaissance Hotel right across the way. Who was here for that very first? Okay. Group of us, yeah. The Renaissance. You remember there was like 300 people the first week? There was like 12. That was great. Then Woodfin, you remember the Woodfin Community Center?
Yes.
Where no one paid attention because the view was so glorious outside. Yep. So you were looking at the mountains. Remember the kids' room in the wood? Every week they kept collecting stuff from the community. It just got to be more and more just stuff. And we're like, we'd get there an hour early and pack the stuff up this high so our kids could like have one little corner. And there's clothes and like old, just old. Like 70s. And 70s were...
Good old
period.
A period.
We've met in parks. We met at the Renaissance. We met at Woodfin. We met at House Church. Now we're meeting in the Art Museum. And guess what? I had a meeting with Tom this morning. Tom's the guy who helps us with our facility here. The city is not renewing their lease. So the Pack Place, what used to be Pack Place, is going away. And now there's the Art Museum, and there's the Diana Worthen Theater, and there's sort of different entities that are sort of, we don't know what's going to happen. So we may be meeting here. We may meet somewhere else.
Amen.
Isn't it great that the church is not bricks and mortar, but people? You are God's temple, and that's sacred. I was just reminded this week at the beach of what a sacred thing we are doing here. How precious it is to God. What we build is important to God. The decisions we make, the choices we make about all of the things we're doing here, it's sacred and it's important to God. And I was just reminded of that. I don't want to go back and just think, oh, well, we're just doing church, you know. No, man, this is sacred to God. This is holy ground. You are God's temple. Boy, that just, okay. I need to be a skillful builder. And I want to tell you, I'm very proud of the disciples here. I'm so encouraged because I think so many things we're doing are right. And I think we have built with those costly stones. And I have the benefit of sort of traveling around and seeing some different places. I'm going to go to Charleston next week. They've invited me to come and speak there. So I'll be in Charleston next week. But I've seen a lot of different churches, and I want to tell you that I'm so proud of what God has done here in Asheville and the kind of people, the kind of hearts that we have. We start off with just maybe some days there'll be 20 people, you know, when we first got here. We've been here 3 years. Time flies. I mean, seriously, like, time flies. We've been here 3 years. We started with maybe, I don't know, 20-ish something. Now, in the fall, when all our students are back and some people move in, we'll have about 60 or so disciples, like, you know, who are sort of, I'm with you, and I try not to put too many numbers on things, but that's pretty cool. Yeah. Pretty cool. So we're going on a trajectory here, yes? Mm-hmm. And when God is involved with things, God makes things grow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you see that? He says, everybody can plant and everybody can water, but only God can make it grow.
Yeah.
So I don't want to worship numbers. I want to worship God who makes things grow.
Amen.
But it's evident to me everywhere I look, when God is involved in something, it just grows. It grows in maturity. It grows in numbers. That's just how God does things. And I'm so encouraged to know that God is adding to our number with people getting baptized. We baptized about 25 people since we've been here. We studied the Bible. This is studying the Bible, pouring our hearts into people. Not just, oh, come on in the door. Oh, You came down front and said a prayer, and oh, now you're part of the church. No, this is costly stones. Let's study the Bible. Let's see what Jesus says a disciple is. Now, do you want to be a disciple? Let's talk about repentance before you get baptized.
Amen. There you go.
Now, we've studied with lots of people. Mm-hmm. What about 25 people said, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life, and I'm ready to be baptized. Not as a symbol, but as the scripture says, for the forgiveness of my sin.
Amen.
That's costly stones. Mm-hmm. That takes work. Mm-hmm. You better be an expert builder. So, I ask myself, what are the most important things that this church does? And I've come up with five. You may have three, or you may have 10. That's great. I came up with five. I want to share those with you. And I just want to talk as a family. If you're visiting, welcome. If you're on vacation, welcome. I want to talk to the disciples who live here in Asheville, and I want to talk about really what we're doing and why it is that we exist, okay? Can we just have a family talk here?
Yeah, sure. All
right. Here's what I see are the purposes of the church. Number one, maturity. To mature people in their relationship with God. To go from, like if you look at my kids, people haven't seen my kids in a while, go, wow, they've really grown. If they hadn't, you might say, gosh, what's going on, buddy? Like, are you feeding them every day? Like, they need to eat every day.
If you saw a baby, that's how he started off that the whole conversation. I couldn't even address you as mature or spiritual. You're worldly. You're an infant. Look, all right, let's get out the bottle. Here you go, baby. Maturity.
Yeah.
Maturity. This is a topic you could go and study for the next month. Maturity. It's all over the scriptures.
Yeah.
So what does that mean, maturity? Well, let's look over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. There's Paul reiterating some things about maturity in the church. And a few topics we're going to talk about will be sort of through this filter here. Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 11. It says, "It was he who gave some to be apostles, and some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers." Why? Verse 12, "to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ," that's you, that's the temple, "may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." See the maturity in there?
Mm-hmm.
What does God want you to do after you become a Christian? First thing, you need to become a Christian first. Okay?
Yes.
After you become a Christian, God wants you to go ahead and grow on up. You shouldn't look at somebody who's been a Christian for 5 years and go, "Gosh, you're still just, God, you're so worldly. You're just blown back and forth by every wind. You're tossed back and forth by the waves." I was at the beach. I know what that feels like. The teaching of our world can do that for you. That, you know, people will come along and some guy will, "Oh, you can't trust the Bible." And then
right.
Your faith is just.
Yeah.
But maturity takes time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the last I looked, it takes 5 years to be a 5-year-old Christian. it takes 10 years to be a 10-year-old Christian. Now, I'm not a man of science, but maturity takes time. Like, it just takes time. Now, there's a temptation for me to do this American thing of, like, grow up now.
Yeah.
Just come on already.
Fertilizer.
We got HGH. We got like all of our sports. We're having a family talk here. All of our sports are with people who, because America wants fast, now, bigger, stronger, faster, now.
Right.
That's not how God does it. God takes time. You know, Jesus was with us guys for 3 years, and he just poured his life over and over and over, and it took time. At the end of 3 years, they don't even get it. "Are you still so dull? All right, bring me one." That may be the most profound thing I say all day.
Yeah.
5 years to be a 5-year-old Christian. Boy, our church is 3 years old. The foundation is in place.
Yeah.
Okay? Now we're building on top of that foundation. Now here are the things that I think are these works that we're talking about. Maturity. We've got to be mature. Growing. If you're not progressing in your walk with God, you're gonna get discouraged,
mm-hmm.
faithless. You're gonna quit.
Yeah.
Now that comes from learning new things, new experiences, new revelation from God. Like whatever amount of Bible study you have right now, that may have been enough to get you to where you are. That may not be enough to make you grow.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to really grow, you got to supplement a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know. My cabinet's full of supplements. I don't use them, my wife. Boy, what's the first thing? If you get a personal trainer, they're going to make you disciplined. They're going to tell you, "Well, look, here's the reps you need. And if you want to grow,
mm-hmm.
you got to put in the work."
Mm-hmm.
Going to church will not get you where you want to be.
True.
Now, amen for coming to church. I'm glad we all came to church. But, man, we got to put in time
right.
to mature. And there is just no substitute for putting in that hard work with God, up to praying to God, working through things, and he gives us new and more revelation. I'm so grateful. I've been doing this 18 years. I still have so much more to learn. And it's There's a joy in learning new things. I'm still just blown away by the things I'm learning in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was studying the Bible code. Oh boy. We'll get into that later. Bible knowledge. Here's what we're doing in the fall. To help us increase in our maturity, we're going to bring back our pancakes on Sunday night. And I just said, anybody wants to come over, we're going to eat a bunch of pancakes, and we're going to talk about apologetics. We're going to dig deep into the Word. We talk about, hey, dinosaurs. We talk about, hey, Pangea. Well, what about you? But I see people laughing. I want to create an environment where it's okay for you to ask questions. Where did we get the Bible? How did the Bible come to be? I'm putting my faith in all of this thing. Can I trust in the processes in a way? I want to talk about those kinds of things to strengthen our faith.
Yeah.
I'm even considering, I want to ask the church to pray for me on this. I want to get a master's degree. It's something I wanted to do when I went back into the ministry a few years ago. But boy, I can only do like one big massive thing at a time. Like church planting and building a house. And like, but I feel like in January, I'd like to start a master's program. And I want to specialize in apologetics.
Mm.
Okay, now this is the Greek word for that is defender of the faith.
Yeah.
Because I can nerd out on DNA further.
So long.
Yes. I know. My wife is looking at me like, I just feel like that's such a need in our culture. I believe we're raising a generation of people who just think, oh man, you believe in the Bible? Whatever.
Right.
Whatever. I want to help strengthen people's faith. And I want our young people who are raised in the church, and they go off, and that priesthood down there at UNCA
mm-hmm.
are secular people. And let's just face it, our entire priesthood of secular society is systematically ruining people's faith. And I want to defend the faith.
Amen.
Amen.
So, now, I don't have the money for it. And it takes a lot of time. So I want to ask the church to pray for me, because I want this to be of God and led by the Spirit of God. I believe when God's behind something, He's going to make it happen.
Right.
Money is just not a problem for God.
Amen.
I've got that in my couch cushions. Okay, maturing. This fall, we're going to have a marriage class. Okay, focus on our marriages. Okay, and now the whole month of September, more information will come on that, but we're going to focus on that. Maturity, Bible knowledge, more structured time to teach. Some of these things are elementary teachings of the Word of God. I don't want to take it for granted that everybody just understands the basics.
Mm-hmm.
Because Paul looked at this entire church of Corinth and goes, man, you guys are still, man, we need to work on this. So I want to work on this. Okay? Maturity. I didn't even start my clock today. I don't know how long I'm going. And I've been on vacation, so.
On vacation time.
On vacation time. What time is it, Bonnie?
It's
11:30. Thank you.
Every Manchester.
Number one, maturity. Number two, worship. We need to be a people who worship God Almighty. That when people come into this room, disciples and non-disciples, they said, these people are serious about God. That's what Paul wanted people to feel when they came in. Wow, God is really among you people. That's how it should feel. When someone comes in, man, God is with these people. Now, that means every individual needs to be a person who worships God on their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is our spiritual act of worship? To offer our bodies as a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not just about the songs. Because I'm going to tell you, we could sing Toe Tapping Song.
Mm-hmm.
That was great, man. So we can sing gospel song. I'm praying for the day. Come on, man. When I became a Christian, there were some women that could sing gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. We need that. I'm just sharing that, Dee, Tony. I'm just sharing that. All kinds of songs, hymns. The Scripture tells us, Colossians 3:16 says we should encourage one another with songs, hymns, and spiritual songs.
Amen.
So I'm going to sing some hymns, old school. I want to sing some spiritual songs in the kingdom. That's just a random. All kinds of songs, but to worship God. Now, as each part does its work, Remember what the scripture says?
Hear it again.
So it's not James's job or the other. This is not a performance. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say this over and over and over again. This is not a performance. This is God's people worshiping creator of heaven and earth. And it starts with every single person. You got to walk in that room. God, why am I here? I'm not here to watch people perform. Okay, and then sing the songs out.
Come on out.
Each part needs to do its work. Now,
yeah.
If you study this, in the New Testament, it's like all of y'all bring a song or a hymn.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 14, everyone should have a song or a hymn. That means you should walk in going, I like that song. Hey, can you sing this song?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you have that heart of like, man, every part does its work. And this is someone we have to work with a little bit. But can I just share with you something I'd like for every single person in the church to have their own song.
Amen.
Where you go and you spend your own $8.95 or whatever. Like you buy it yourself, and it's your songbook, and you spend time learning songs, having quiet times with songs. I remember as a young Christian, I just read through this, man. This is so great, man. You know, I don't want us to have a repertoire of, oh, we do 20 songs and we're just gonna recycle the same. Man, I want this fall on some new songs.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Some new song and harmonies? Man, when the church sings in four parts, it's just like,
woo!
Yes. Yes.
You know what? It's going to be like that in heaven.
Yeah.
Thousands upon thousands of angels who, they're skillful at singing.
Yeah.
They're good. These are angelic beings and they're singing. It's not pitchy. It's not pitchy. It's good. Amen. We can work on that. And whether or not you're a great singer or that's not even, it's the heart of, man, I want to worship. I want to connect with these songs. Just turn, man, it is well with my soul. Man, what's it? Just years I spent in vanity and pride. We don't sing that song. Why don't we learn some of that? You're going to help us learn some of this. Lead me to Calvary. Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Man, just on Zion's glorious summit. I mean, I'd like for every person in the church to get one of these. Your own.
Yep.
And then treat it like you love it. Like it's sacred. Like, man, I'm building this temple of, you know what I mean? As each part does its work. Not as each part performs for the rest
right.
of the people.
Right.
We've got to watch that as we grow. We're going to outgrow this building. And I don't want people to come here because, oh, they got a great show. Man, check out their audio visual. Man, boy, they entertain me. Say what? The biggest churches in this country put on the best shows.
Yes.
Now, praise God if that helps you be emotional, connect with the words. Amen for that. God can use all that. But, man, we are not here to perform. We're here to worship God.
Yeah.
I want us to grow in worship of God. That's the second main thing I think that we do. Now, there's a whole category of things under that, but I have maturity, I have worship, relationships. That's the third big thing that I think is so important. I think one of the biggest differences between our group, if people could walk in here and just feel like, wow, those people actually know each other. I bet that person hangs out with that person during the week.
It's not like they have church friends and regular friends.
It's like,
talk about
there you go. Because when I grew up, that's how it was.
Right.
I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, one of the most religious places. And I'm like, seeing people, like, I didn't grow up going to church, but I knew the lives that these guys were living. It's like, so you're going someplace on Sunday, but you're really hanging out with, like, that's what Christianity is.
Yeah.
Thank you. Like, that kept me away from God for a long time. But, man, relationships. There are 37 passages in the New Testament that use this concept, one another.
Mm-hmm.
One another. We need to practice the one another scriptures. Man, who can think of a one another scripture?
John 10:35.
What is it? Which says?
I love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another.
As I have loved you, so you must love one another. I think that's actually
John. Oh, Psalm 13:35.
But that's...
Sorry.
Who can think of another one another scripture?
Carry each other's burdens.
Carry each other's burdens. Isn't that great? Man, I don't have to go through this life all on my own. People can help me submit to one another. Oh boy. Encourage one another. How often?
Daily.
Wow.
Amen.
James 5:16. Confess your sins to
come on.
But if you just read the one another scriptures, you see this vision that God has for the church. It's so much greater than just Sunday morning. And it's so much deeper than I think we can even if you don't have friends like that, I'm not here to say I can do it. I'm here to say you're missing out.
Right.
You are missing out on the fullness of the kingdom of God. You don't have friends like that. Somebody you can talk to and bear with each other's burdens. Man, life is going to go ahead and burden you on down.
Mm-hmm.
Man, but isn't it good? We can share that. I can come in here and share that with somebody. I share a little bit of that burden with you. I share a little bit. All of a sudden, boy, I can. A little lighter, yes?
Yeah, true. Yeah.
The one another scriptures, relationship. Amen. Family. That's three. Maturity, worship, relationship, mission. Mission. Now, I am very content doing the work of an evangelist. Is what it says in 1 Timothy. Timothy. Paul tells Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. That's my favorite thing to do. Like, I enjoy it. I got to play golf this week. It's great. But even more than golf and sports and whatever else, one of my favorite things in the whole world is just to talk to somebody else about their faith and to help them and to open the Bible with them and to see this growth that happens when somebody reads the Bible for themselves and to see someone become a disciple and change. And that is just, for me, about as good as it gets. Now, not everybody in here is, see, Ephesians 4, some were apostles, some were evangelists. You may think, oh gosh, it's okay. But each part needs to do its work. Yeah. The mission. Yeah. Now, if you're not the most outgoing person, and the thought of talking to a person who you've never talked to before, if that just terrifies you, okay. But you need to grow in that. It's okay to be there. It's not okay to stay there. You cannot say, I want to be like Jesus, and then stay in a place of fear and just talking to your neighbor. No. Jesus says, love your neighbor. Do we even know our neighbors? In our country, do we even know the people that live next? Like, just talking to people. I'm just sharing from my heart.
Amen.
Right. Churches die because they lose sight of the mission of Jesus, which is to go and make disciples. Now, I've learned over the years, this is not a burden. I've got to go and make. No, I get to go and make disciples. Making disciples, I bet you, is going to help save my soul.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Rediscovering the grace of God every time you see it in a young Christian, in a person who has really, really opened the Bible for themselves and really wrestled with it and really started to, I got to deny myself. Luke 9:23. Anybody wants to follow me? You got to deny yourself daily. Whoa, I love sharing those people. You grew up in church your whole life, you never read that.
Right.
You got to count the cost. Jesus said, don't make an emotional decision to follow me. You sit down and think about it. It's going to cost you. To see somebody wrestle with that and change and repent, beautiful.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Now, each part needs to do our work on that. Here's what I'm not saying. Go knock on every door and go like, and I'm not even talking about a program. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying let's have a campaign. Everybody pass out cards. Everybody, no. I'm saying everybody develop a heart for the mission of Jesus. And he will use your talents, your gifts, your hobbies. Hey man, if you like, whatever you like, go and do whatever you like to do and take Jesus with you.
Yep. Amen.
Here you go.
That's about
simple.
Is that simple enough?
Yes.
For me?
Yes.
These are just things I was thinking about at the beach. Are you with me doing
this? Yeah, come on.
Stretch.
Are you thinking on?
How much time do I have, sweetheart? Right now, I would have been, this whole week, I would have been going, this would have been my nap time. You ever do that? You get up, eat breakfast, maybe go to the beach, come back.
Yeah, yep.
It's 11:40. Okay. We talked about maturity. We talked about worship. We talked about relationship. We talked about mission. Let me just say one more thing about that. If I go out and work as hard as I can as an evangelist, I can sort of add to our number. Jesus is more into sort of multiplying.
Mm-hmm.
See, if I go and just work and work and work and work, I'll get burnt out, first of all, and I will have added a couple. But if the whole church has a mission mindset, man, if all 70 people in this room decide, you know what, I'll just talk to somebody this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know how hard I'd have to work to add up, like, 70 times?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it's the heart of that. I want to encourage the church that we can never lose our focus on the mission of Jesus, or else we'll just, man, drive down the street here in Asheville and look how many people want to rent out their building because their church is dying. Because God help us if we lose the heart and mission for people. It's not guaranteed we're going to be here in a year.
Right.
It's guaranteed that God will be with us. What's the end of that sentence? Go make disciples, baptize them, teaching them to obey. And I'm with you always. Jesus will be with us as long as we're with him.
Right.
We can't authentically say we're with him if we don't want this to be a part of our life.
Right.
And I know we have challenges and struggles, but we've got to authenticate. I want to be with Jesus, and I want to take part. I want to plant and water. God, you're the only one that can make it grow. But boy, I want to be a good planter and a good walker.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, ministry. We need to serve the people around us. We need to meet the needs of the people around us, not only inside the room, but outside the room. I think one of the best things we've done since I've been here is to go to the Solace Center or the nursing home to sing songs to those people who are getting ready to pass away. Like, literally, like, we'll go in there and they'll tell us, don't go in that room because they're imminent. That's the way they describe it. They're imminent. That means they may lose their life today and you can't walk in there and say, wow. But go in there and to sing with our brothers and sisters. For an audience of one, really. There's no reward. It's not like that. For me, has been some of the deepest, richest, Jesus-like stuff I've ever done. And I want to encourage you, if you're not, you know, serving other people, Christianity is primarily, should be outward. Jesus was primarily outward, not primarily inward. Me and I got to obey and I got to do. Start getting inward, man. You're going to be guilty a lot. Think about how we can serve other people. One of my dreams, I'd like to take up a collection in the church, collect $2,000, and I'd like to walk on down with a few of the brothers and sisters here. I'd like to go just drop a check for $2,000 to the mayor of Asheville. Here's our church. Here's $2,000. Here's 70 volunteers. How can we meet the need in this city? You know the needs in this city. Here's money, and here's free labor.
Mm-hmm.
Let's serve the community.
Yeah.
How cool would that be?
Yeah,
that would
be awesome.
Really
cool.
Let's do it then.
Go.
I mean, you know, if everybody just gave, you know, and give like a decent amount, a couple $100. You add a couple $100 for people in here, or whatever you, look. Hold on a second. The Bible tells us that we should, each man should consider and decide in his heart what to give. But there are things in the book of Acts that are free. There's additional gift. Besides your regular contribution, there is additional to meet the needs of other churches and to meet the needs of people. So this would be a free will situation. And if you don't have any money right now, I don't want to guilt you with that. What I want to say, though, is that the power of all of us deciding to do something like that, that looks like the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Yep.
Just walking in there, hey, how are you doing? Well, we're church, when we meet down there to the art museum, here's some money and here's free labor. How can we serve this community? Man, that's just a dream I had.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right. To summarize, I think our church exists to help mature disciples, to grow in our worship, in our relationships, in our mission, and the ministry to meet the needs to serve other people. All of this comes back to the foundation of Jesus. I'm building my house right now. And there's a couple of spots that aren't quite right. And I'm going to go ahead and keep on building. I'm not going to stop because it's not perfect. We're not perfect, but man, we're building something here. We're building a sacred, holy temple of God. That's what we're doing here. Now, the theme of the fall is going to be the kingdom of God. All of our lessons, all of our everything is just on the kingdom of God. We're going to talk about the king. It's a good place to start. So we're going to study about Jesus and the parables of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus and the Sermon on the Mountain. And we're just going to focus on the words of Jesus. And we're going to look at our lives and we're going to make an effort to line our lives up with the words of Jesus. We're going to start talking about, well, we're going to be our own 501c. We're going to do a board. We got to pick a name.
All aboard.
All aboard?
Christ.
There'll be some that we consider. I want to do some teaching on the history of our movement.
Amen.
Where did we come from?
Good stuff.
Now, I want to go beyond 1979.
Amen.
Talk about the Church of Christ. We'll talk about the Stone Campbell movement. Mm-hmm. The who? Well, we're going to talk about that. Okay. I want to dig into some of the early writings of the first century church, the patristics, the fathers of Christianity, not the inspired works of the Bible, but men who wrote about the church in the first couple of centuries. Jesus taught a lot about the kingdom. I want to focus on the fall, just kingdom stuff.
Amen.
Kingdom dreams, kingdom values, kingdom worship, the king. That's what we're going to focus on in the fall. Brothers and sisters, this was my thoughts on vacation. I'm really encouraged to be with you. I hope you're encouraged this morning. Let's stand up and we'll...